Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on this very special Friday. Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, Chinese Medicine. And today, only by Fireball. In case you guys forgot, today is Fireball Friday. I forget why we declared it Fireball Friday.
Doesn't matter. They decided to sponsor our show for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
No, they're not. But they don't know who we are.
They've never heard of us. But anyway, so get your Fireball ready. We will do the Fireball Friday Party Friday launch at about
12:45. Yeah, 3:45.
Yeah, 3:45 Denver time, quarter till.
Yeah, Denver time for you people in England and other places.
A lot of people around the world listen to us. It's kind of interesting when you track it. Coming up at 3:30, kind of combining two
relax.
Favorite topics for Mark Poff. We're going to be talking about golf
and fatality.
Yeah, exactly.
Which often intersect. It's a known fact that golf tournaments seem to bring up police brutality.
The PGA Championship is going on in Louisville, Kentucky this week. And the number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, in this bizarre misunderstanding, was arrested, cuffed, taken to jail, made it back for his tee time. And I called Mark Poff, who's our law enforcement expert, who said, yeah, the arresting cop did like everything wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, he predicted that the charges would be dropped by showtime. They haven't yet.
No,
some people are saying they probably have to wait till Monday. Otherwise, it's too embarrassing for the cops. But anyway, we'll be talking about that. But,
you know, just to bring a little highlight to that, if you've ever been to the Masters, you know the biggest jerks, the Augusta police, they just can't stand you.
And this was, and we'll explain the whole thing. It was a complicated, chaotic situation.
Made better by de-escalation.
Yeah, by the cops.
And you'll hear a phrase you've never heard before, I don't think, attaching yourself to a car.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not sure what that means.
It's not good. It's not good.
You should not do it.
Don't attach yourself to a driving car.
At any rate, that's all coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I wanted to talk about another massive miscarriage of justice, and that's the Trump trial in New York. We're happy to say they did not have court today because Trump was allowed by the judge to attend Barron Trump's graduation. Why the judge thought it would be a good political move to tell Trump that he couldn't initially, is beyond me. But somehow, you know, despite the fact that his daughter's being paid under the table and by all kinds of donors and things like that, and he's raising money. Yeah, the guy who prepped Michael Cohen's testimony paid the judge's daughter. Now,
$150,000.
Yeah, I mean... But that's all okay. But anyway,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Cohen, who was Trump's former sleazy lawyer, was on the stand for the past couple of days. And basically, I think even CNN, and we'll play a soundbite from Anderson, a very distraught sounding Anderson Cooper. The only people who think it went well is MSNBC.
They
just run drugs. They just don't listen to, they do Fireball before their shows.
During their shows.
If you just don't have to listen to anything that goes on, you can live in your happy bubble. But the case all comes, well, it's unclear actually what the crime is that Donald Trump committed.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people, Jonathan Turley, Alan Dershowitz, are like, it still hasn't really been explained, right?
Right.
And they kind of tie it.
It sort of is that because Stormy Daniels payments helped it not come out, that it helped his campaign, and therefore he should have reported it as a campaign expenditure.
Right.
And you kind of go, why is that a crime? Oh, no, that's a...
Right.
That's an incredible crime.
And the fact that the feds, who are normally the ones who would prosecute that kind of thing, declined to do it. So it's not exactly clear, but basically... the way it works, part of the problem they have is that the legal payments to Michael Cohen that are in Trump's file as legal expenses, right, were not paid until 2017 after the election. So one could say, well, How did that payment have anything to do with the election then, right? And what's key is when, so Michael Cohen says, Trump told him, we need to pay off Stormy Daniels to help my campaign.
Right.
And then that's what happened. And
now, if he'd said, we need to pay Stormy Daniels to help my campaign, and it's embarrassing to my wife that I slept with, you know, a diseased.
That I was alleged to. Well, I mean, keep in mind, Trump denies that, too.
Well, I know, but he's saying it would be embarrassing.
That would be okay. Then it wouldn't be mislabeling.
But really what's happening now is that Trump never knew about it, apparently. At least that's what the lawyer testified in Congress.
Cohen's lawyer testified that Cohen told him, no one knew I was doing this. I wanted to be part of the White House. Trump was telling me I wasn't going to be part of the White House. So I wanted to ingratiate myself and I was going to kind of like do this for him. But the key thing is did Trump flat out say, we need to do this to help my campaign, you make the payment, and then I'll pay you back, and then we'll call it legal fees, as opposed to campaign fees. And when did that conversation occur? Now, there is no other documentation anywhere, nor really any other testimony by anybody.
No, the whole thing depends on Michael Cohen.
On Michael Cohen, because he and Trump are the only one who knows, and Trump obviously denies it. He's pleading not guilty. So Cohen, the mainstream media, was trying to pretend like he did a pretty decent job the first few days, because he said, oh, yeah, he told me this, he told me that, here are the conversations. Well, what he didn't know, or at least somehow,
hopefully didn't know,
right, was that the defense attorneys had gotten some of the cell phone records. So the one call that he's talking about under direct examination, he's telling the prosecutors, this call on this date was between me and Trump and blah, blah, blah.
This is the whole scheme.
Right. We're exactly. Where Trump says, go ahead and pay off Stormy Daniels to
just
help my campaign and then hide it. Right. But the defense attorneys got hold of all the call records and the text messages. And as it turns out, Cohen did not talk to Trump on that call at all. What he did, it was about a minute and 46 second phone call between Cohen and one of Trump's security guards, because Cohen was getting some prank, 14-year-old prank phone call.
Well, he texted this security guy that's always by Trump. And he texted him, hey, I'm having trouble with all the...
And this is documented.
Right. So then immediately after, there's a phone call. And after, there's another text. You know, oh, great. You know, we solved that.
Right. So basically, the phone call where Cohen says that this is when Trump laid out the whole illegal scheme didn't occur. It wasn't even a phone call where he talked to Trump. So then under cross-examination, he said, well, I believe I talked to Trump.
My belief is
that I talked to Trump. And it's like, what? And it was just horrible. And that's our whole case. Now, he's back on the stand Monday. I imagine the prosecution will try to come up with other phone calls where it happened and said, well, Cohen was just confused or something like that, right?
I mean, that's going to be successful.
But yeah, I mean, and then, of course, then there will be another cross-examination of that. So that could be kind of fun to listen to the whole thing. But bottom line, I mean, even the Associated Press, CNN, the more conservative-leaning organizations are thrilled with this because the whole case fell apart. Cohen did not deliver the goods. I was reading one CNN lawyer or a legal expert on CNN was saying, Cohen had one job. He had to tie Trump to that phone call and through the phone call to this illegal scheme, right? The alleged illegal scheme, even though it's not illegal. And he failed to do that. And not only that, but he looked terrible on the stand. And even CNN's Anderson Cooper, I'm going to play this and then you guys can weigh in what you think, is like
tricked into saying,
yeah, even Anderson Cooper's like, okay, this was not good. If we could please play, this is Anderson Cooper who was in the courtroom, apparently.
Yes.
If we could please play the Anderson Cooper soundbite.
It was an extraordinary cross-examination by Todd Blanche. And, you know, Michael Cohen's throughout the day, Michael Cohen, when he found himself in a corner, he does have a pattern of suddenly not understanding the question that's being asked, or seemingly kind of, I mean, one could say buying time to try to figure out how he wants to answer. But he definitely suddenly starts to, you know, have Todd Blanche repeat questions and say, I don't quite understand what you mean. I'm confused by the question. But this time, Michael Cohen was cornered in what appeared to be a lie, I think, to many in the room, and had to adjust suddenly his memory that he had just testified to on Tuesday. Ellie, I mean, you pointed out just right before the commercial break, you know, if jurors don't believe Michael Cohen, how significant that might be. He was, I mean, it is hard to, I wonder how prosecutors are going to redirect on this, because Todd Blanche also pointed out, or got Michael Cohen to admit that he had not seen these text messages in the prep by prosecutors. So he had apparently had no memory of those text messages. And the implication is that he concocted, you know, he was shown that there was a phone call to Keith Schiller at this time by prosecutors in the prep. And the implication, certainly by Todd Blanche, is that he concocted this story of what that 90-second phone call was, not realizing that there were text messages right ahead that directly related it, and right after that directly related.
I mean, that's just number one, you're a lawyer. Can you imagine if somebody's at the prosecution table is going, oh, and Michael Cohen, I'm sure, said, why didn't anyone tell me about that? Mm-hmm. I mean, keep in mind, this was a third guy at the DOJ, you know, who quit the DOJ to come prosecute Trump. I mean, Alvin Bragg, I don't think, is a genius, but how much of a blunder is it for the prosecution?
Somebody's looking at some paralegal going, why didn't you get us this stuff?
Right. Because clearly
we didn't look at the text messages.
And it's clearly what it also, and he doesn't get into this, but to me, in listening to that, what it also clearly says is they were trying to come up with a fake phone call that Michael Cohen could say, oh, this was, you know, this is,
well,
the smoking gun
Trump
phone
is
call.
Very seldom with Michael Cohen, or only with Michael Cohen. There are other people with him. So, oh yeah, when I was in there, oh yeah, there are other people there.
Well, I mean, so
they can't do that. Or they may be one case where they claim they were alone for a second, but so they had to kind of set it up and figured, okay, here's a 90-second phone call. You could have told him about it then. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's clearly suborning perjury to a certain extent, right? I mean,
but Democrats can do
that. Well, I guess if you're the Democrat DA, you could do that. So,
and the third guy in the Justice Department, they're perjury machines.
It's just a clown show. And again, then Anderson Cooper said every time Blanche, now if you're Michael Cohen on the stand, obviously you're concerned because you know, okay, he's clearly got some information you were unaware that he has, right?
Right.
Only you don't know how much information he has. So to try to lie, and it sounds like that's what kept happening. So he would say, well, what about this? And he'd say, oh, well, I believe Trump was there.
I believe now. I have a well-founded belief.
Right, right. It's from Charlene. Is anyone curious why this trial hasn't been televised? Because it would make Trump look too good. No, actually, and that there is an innocent answer to that. The New York courts don't allow cameras in the courtroom.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because in New York courts. Yeah. Oh, Sandra's talking about Barron Trump, how tall he is. That's right.
He's 6'7". He just
stands
way above everybody, and he's starting to fill out, and he's just...
But here's what I wonder, tell me what you think. I wonder, I mean, because the mainstream media has been happy to, I mean, the Hunter Biden laptop story, not true. They've never taken that back, right? They've been happy all along to lean into the lies and not call out the lies. I mean, that was for Anderson Cooper, who was clearly anti-Trumper, to say, well, Michael Cohen told a lie, and it was a big lie. It was a key lie about the key piece of evidence.
Well,
in the
Anderson
trial.
Cooper, as much a hack he is and so forth, hasn't devolved into the MSNBC level,
right,
where it doesn't matter what happened. He will, if it was blue, he'll say red. If it was anything, he'll lie and lie and lie and lie. That they will never say. There was some guy, some jerk, who was a army prosecutor, and he was saying, "Do you know what? This is the key." The prosecution was so confident.
This is MSNBC saying this.
Yeah, so confident, and was so happy with Michael Cohen. They made him their last witness. You do not make your last witness a disaster. No, you make it. That means they thought he did great.
He did great.
Just great.
Well, and the problem.
And you kind of go, yeah, but he didn't do great.
Right. Well, and the problem they have is that, number one, they haven't really clearly articulated what the crime is, but there isn't any evidence, right? I mean, how can you have evidence of something that's not a crime, right? So they don't really have a lot of
Because then you call it hush money,
right,
which sounds vaguely illegal, doesn't it? I mean,
it sounds hush bad
money.
At any rate.
It's like bribe money or something.
Yeah, you have stormy.
You did hush money, and you know they did get Cohen to say no, it was a contract with consideration. No, that's legal, and it's done
right
all the time.
Right,
but hush money.
Well, and again, the point of the trial was largely, yeah, was trying to get, you know, Trump tied up in court to humiliate him and embarrass him. But I'm wondering if...
Well, he's brought the party together. He even got Johnson
right,
to go there.
I mean, instead all these Republicans keep showing up and you know...
I'm just letting the judge have it.
Right.
It can't be great for the judge that they're all going to... The corrupt judge. Because he has no ability to go after them to sit outside of the courtroom.
Right.
I mean, he's just kind of going, I never should have done that gag.
Wondering. So now you have Anderson Cooper, who sounded distraught because to me, and maybe I'm just reading too much into it, Anderson Cooper, I'm sure, believed that there was a crime here somewhere, oh, right? And that Trump is right. guilty of it. But he kind of seemed like, oh, well, if Cohen is lying, then Trump's not guilty of anything, really.
Well, I mean, no, but we know he's guilty.
But he's got to be guilty. I mean, he sounded distraught, right?
Yes,
it was
yes.
clearly not a dispassionate, you know, hey, look, the star witness crumbled. I mean, he sounded concerned about the fact. And yeah. I'm wondering if they are setting the stage.
No, this
you
was,
don't think so? I was going to say to somehow, no.
This was, they're not happy about this. They, you know, as they said, you know, they don't want to become across as a total fool like MSNBC. And it's just a disaster because every one of these, well, I was talking to George Brockler and we were debating back and forth on the phone and a very friendly, you know, banter and stuff. He's saying, okay, this one is bad. And this one is bad. But the one, the classified documents, that was fair. That's because Trump wouldn't give the document. Read the unredacted motion.
Oh,
it'll
yeah.
show you it's all a setup. It's going, really? Who knows?
So I got to wonder, I mean, I do know that the legal pundits who say the judge will issue a directed verdict, that means, so theoretically, the prosecution may rest on Monday, right? And then the defense always stands up in any trial and says, you know, we make a motion to dismiss, they didn't prove it. And almost always the judge denies that. Now, some of the legal pundits are like, oh, he'll probably do that here. They're not going to. There's no way.
Well, there's a sliver of a chance because Marchand has made a fool of himself and his daughter is being attacked. And if he did give a directed verdict, because he doesn't think this thing is, you know, the jury is going to convict him, at least it'll go be a hung jury. He could kind of go, see, I was always fair and honorable and believe in truth and justice.
Well, and I think too, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're right. I also think still and all that this jury might convict. I think maybe that's what.
I don't think so anymore.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what you're starting to hear in their voices. And I think a lot of that is trying to manage expectations, right? A lot of that is like they want to prepare. Look, Trump's not, he's not innocent, but this is complicated. And Michael Cohen was such a bad witness.
Did not come across well.
Right. So Trump is still guilty, even though the jurors, I don't know, something. It's interesting to me. And then on top of it, I got to play, this is funny video. It's Party Friday. Because I think I want to talk about what's going on in the classified document case. And then you want to talk about that Kansas City kicker. But some guy who is, his name is Scott Lobato in New York. He's a restaurant owner, apparently a conservative restaurant owner.
Yay.
He released, well, I'll just let the video speak for itself, but outside the New York courtroom yesterday, the courthouse, he released some balloons that say,
yay,
and particularly colorful balloons. If we could please play Doug the balloons video.
Someone just released pink male genitalia balloons outside the Donald Trump hush money trial. The faces of District Attorney Alvin Bragg, Judge Juan Merchan, and Special Counsel Jack Smith were on them. He pulled up in a U-Haul and let them all go.
But what it is these are, I'm just going to say, they were being called dick balloons, giant dick balloons pink with the pictures of the judge Alvin Bragg and then Jack Smith on them. And then the video goes on and on. And at one time you see the cop, he's trying to close the U-Haul because the balloons are floating out. And you can bet that was not on his bingo card, right? Deal with giant dick balloons. But anyway, that was like one of the funniest things that that I think happened outside there. And here before we move on, Sandra, we had the cutest dog. Yes, I'm one of those people who look at the background of a speaker, like when Trump has his rallies. I like to look at those behind him. Yeah, you've seen our dog Tiger roaming around behind us. She was photobombing us.
Hey, there you go, Tiger. Come here.
Also,
we'll show you him sometime. Bring him up.
We've done that before. Do you want to talk about them? This is interesting too, where things are backfiring. The Kansas City Kicker.
So this Kansas City Kicker, if you haven't heard the story, I'm sure you probably have, gave a speech at St. Benedictine's Catholic University or college, and in it he kind of said, you know, women, you're being lied to, that, you know, a career is fine and so forth, but I think coming to the end of your life, the greatest thing you'll remember is your marriage and raising your children.
Well, and yeah, what he said, just to clarify, because this is important, because a lot of the liberal people are twisting it to say he said a woman's place is in the kitchen. He didn't say that at all. He said one of the happiest things and one of the things that has contributed most to my success was the fact that I married a girl I met in band in high school. Mm-hmm. She agreed to be my wife. We have children, and she has dedicated herself to a traditional and very fine career, and that is homemaker.
Right.
Right. That's what he said.
And he also, you know, he was not pro-LGBTQ. He was not pro-abortion. He was not pro some other things. But it was a great speech.
He was at a Catholic university.
The college, even, okay. A very small one.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, you know, that was, you would think that'd be a nothing burger. In the NFL, they have, you know, players that have 10 children by 8 different women. When they're accused of beating up their girlfriends, they're accused of all kinds of things. None of those result in massive petitions to have that. So change.org, I think, is called, put out the petition that has 50,000 signatures and climbing.
To do what?
For the NFL and or the Kansas City Chiefs to do the right thing and fire the kicker. It has become a great kind of cause with lots of people backing the kicker. His jersey sales are now the most popular everywhere. You have these people kind of has the most beautiful speech I've ever heard. He's become a hero in a lot of people. He's not a villain. I mean, it was great on the, you don't have this clip, but they have on The View and the one blonde haired said she's a Christian and everything else. He said, this is not walking with Jesus. And he goes to Latin mass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an extremist small cult.
Latin mass, exactly. Well, and it, you know.
So if you don't know what Latin mass is, then you probably do, but traditionally for, I don't know how many thousands of years, close to 2000, the church had all its services in Latin. And then they decided sometime in the 60s or something that.
Since no one could understand Latin anymore.
Nobody could stand Latin anymore.
So let's maybe do it in English. Or whatever language. Right.
But some people love the old traditional Latin mass. The FBI has identified people who go to Latin mass as potential terrorists.
White nationalist domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists. Right. And they have to be kept under guard. And that's what this group is. This is a very fringy group.
Right.
They want to hear a lot of traditional Latin. You can imagine what they're getting into. You know, so nobody understands what they're saying. They may be subverting these people with some Latin mass phrases, kind of like, I don't know, Tombstone. When Doc Holliday went up against the bad guy that spoke Latin.
And they didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, this from Sandra. I agree with everything you said. The feminist movement killed all of us women. Thank God I finally got smart and told them to go to hell. Mm-hmm. Also, the feminist movement emasculated our men.
And he had something to say on that, you know, don't be emasculated, which I think it was great.
Right. And I think what's funny is the left just gets, they freak out, right? All of these single urban turning 40, 45, oh my God, even getting older than that, who live with their cats and go to protests and things like that are screaming their heads off. Because these are people who are just perpetually unhappy, and they want everyone else to be happy too, unhappy too. And I think the thought that this guy could have a happy family, a happy wife, drives them nuts, right? That if everyone
Well,
must be
no, that he's
miserable
allowed
like
to
them.
say these things,
Right.
and he's in the NFL,
And the
and the
NFL.
same thing with, it's the same NFL that glorifies Kaepernick, and that's perfect, of course, as if you said we support Kaepernick's taking a knee and attacking. But to say you believe in Latin Mass and traditional families, that can't be allowed in today's more
No.
modern progressive world.
And the NFL issued a statement saying that that
Oh, you see, most places have DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. NFL, very smart of them. They made it diversity and inclusion because equity means same results for everybody.
but they're
So,
the NFL, so they can't
but
have
they
that.
can't be for that. But they
No.
got the diversity down and they have an officer dedicated to it. I'm sure he's going to want to bring up the lack of Chinese representation in almost NFL teams.
Well, and here's the thing, keep in mind the left trolls for that kind of stuff,
Yep.
right?
You're
They,
kidding.
I mean, they,
You're
right,
kidding.
I mean,
They
they.
will take the most innocuous joke a radio host ever had and just go
Go bonkers
bonkers,
over it. And then
bonkers.
in the end, he was saying the thing they hate the most, because that's their main thing, and that is the family, right?
Yes,
Because if
yes.
you have a family, if you have a strong a mother, a father, kids who are going to college. I mean, there were no Palestinian protests at this college, I guess.
They didn't know about it.
But
It's
yeah,
too
they
late.
didn't exactly.
But they
I'm
got the
then.
nuns, they got the sisters of the nuns who are all very old saying, no, this is terrible. Because, of course, they didn't raise a family because they're nuns, right? And they go, no, we can't have this.
I mean, the family is one of the biggest threats to the left and the whole global
Yes,
elite,
yes.
right? Because we all need to rely on the government. And instead, you have this guy. And it's like you would think that the message should be, if you're a woman and that's what you want to do, great for you. If you're a woman and you want to not have children and have a career, great for you too. You do you, I'll do me. I mean, that's what inclusion really is, right? Inclusion is like, I'm not going to judge you. Don't judge me. I hope you're happy. But the fact that this guy, and then they twist it around, right? Just like they do the don't say gay bill, right? He
Right,
didn't say
right.
that at all, right? He didn't say at all a woman's place is in the kitchen. He didn't even comment on his wife's cooking. And I imagine he's a NFL kicker. She may not do a lot of cooking. You know what I mean?
No,
I would lose.
he just signed a huge contract.
Right.
So
So
she's probably not cooking a lot.
not cooking. And then Sanders is absolutely, Julie, what a bunch of nutbags they are. And they can't. And yet the thing is, you see these studies about this, generation, younger generation of women who are all unhappy.
Right.
And it could be like, well, I know why. It's like first you thrive on being unhappy. Well, you don't
Right.
thrive, but you sit around and you think you're unhappy. Then they wonder why they can't get dates, right? And I think he was right to
And then
tell
they
them.
listen to Taylor Swift, who really just tells you how unhappy she is
Right,
for
right.
album after album after album, with the same melodic chords, but kind of good, poetry. It's
Bouncy.
really poetry and stuff. How miserable and unhappy she is. So if and people fill huge stadiums just to have her sing on how happy she is.
The other day, I was at the nail salon and they had the song playing.
Are nail
And
salons allowed? Isn't that some kind of violation of,
equity. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
If it is, I don't care. But I was listening, so there was this, I don't know what they were playing, but it was a series of youngish kind of male singers. And I was sitting there listening to myself and like thinking to myself, what a bunch of whiny dudes. These all these songs like, oh, I'm thinking about you and you've got me. And I'm trying to pick up my life. And I'm like, what the frick? I mean, it's like, what happened to Bruce Springsteen? Yeah, I mean, at least his early songs, right? I mean, all of these songs. So you've got this,
Bob Dylan, don't think twice. It's all right.
it's kind of like, well, Hotel California. I mean, you got all these songs. And instead, these are whiny men. And I'm like, get over it. If they were my son, I'd be shaking him and go, like, there are plenty of fish in the sea. I mean, it was this whole generation of unhappy women, whiny men. And they wonder why mental health
Why
is to
80-year-olds are the presidential candidates? The
well,
last bit of whatever is left of.
they wonder why mental health is mental health issues are rising. It's like, well, because they tell them they are. They're like, you're unhappy. It's just ridiculous. And Dr. Donna said, can we not date and still be happy according to them? Well, I think you have to date, right? Because these people are all the ones on the dating apps, right? They're all on dating apps, but you cannot be happy and date. You have to be unhappy with your date. I'm not sure, but for every reason, right? If you're the guy, you're unhappy. I'm not sure why. And if you're the girl,
she's an emasculating, snarly, unhappy, trash you down kind of date.
I don't know, but it just was kind of funny. And
obviously, well, you've got to meet the three sixes, they say these days. And
what's that?
Well, you have to have six-figure income.
Oh.
You have to have great six abs. You got to have the washerboard abs.
Okay. Men or women or both?
This is for men.
Oh.
You know, you have to have the six, and the third six is I've forgotten.
I got a memory, and then you're eligible. Well, I don't know. It's funny, and the hullabaloo of this, and again, and the backlash is jersey sales. No one ever heard of this kicker outside, really, of Kansas City, right?
Now, well, he's a very good kicker.
Very good kicker, but
nobody had heard.
But now his jersey is the number one selling in the NFL.
Number seven.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, Charlene said 666 dating. Oh, that's true, Charlene. That's double work. And now, so I'm hoping. Doug, has we seen Mark Poff? Has he shown up yet?
Is he
was coming in on traffic. Zoom. Yeah, he's directing traffic. He was going to show up on Zoom. I'm not sure if he's here. Yeah, he is
there
here.
He is.
Sometimes you can't see who's there. So why don't we move on to the Chuck? I mean, when you can combine law enforcement, golf, podcasting, it's a beautiful
police
world.
Police brutality.
Hey, Mark, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Oh, free Scotty. I love it.
So I don't know if you know that every time he teed off, you know, they normally yell after somebody tees off. The whole crowd was yelling free Scotty on every hole after he teed off. But
before we get you to get into it, I want to play, because fortunately, I think for Scottie Scheffler, the whole thing was kind of witnessed and portions of it captured by an ESPN reporter, Jeff Darlington, who was probably just standing there.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's what you do. Shoot the people going in. And he kind of gives a rundown of what happened. So let me play that. So if we could, Doug, please play the ESPN video.
Scheffler has been detained by police officers, placed in the back of a police vehicle in handcuffs after he tried to pull around what he believed to be security, ended up being police officers. They told him to stop. When he didn't stop, the police officer attached himself to the vehicle. Scheffler then traveled another 10 yards before stopping the car. The police officer then grabbed at his arm, attempting to pull him out of the car before Scheffler eventually opened the door, at which point the police officer pulled Scheffler out of the car, pushed him up against the car, and immediately placed him in handcuffs. Scheffler was then walked over to the police car, placed in the back in handcuffs, very stunned about what was happening, looked toward me as he was in those handcuffs and said, "Please help me." He very clearly did not know what was happening in the situation. It moved very quickly, very rapidly, very aggressively. He was detained in that police vehicle for approximately 20 minutes. The police officers at that point did not understand that Scottie Scheffler was a golfer in the tournament, nor, of course, that he is the number one player in the world.
I bet they know that now. So my
biggest...
So how many times in your illustrious career did you attach yourself to a vehicle?
I don't think I ever. That sounds like a maneuver you do in Survivor or something. We're going to attach everyone to a car, and the car is going to speed off, and the last person to get ejected wins. I can guarantee you there's absolutely no training in law enforcement about attaching yourself to a vehicle. You used to get, cops were notorious for going in windows. You know, somebody would do something and they'd actually go in the window, and they're all like, "Where did you learn that in training?" If somebody speeds off, you let them go. I think I understand how this thing kind of played out. I was telling Julie earlier today when we were talking, I used to direct traffic at the Air Force Falcon football game. I did it every Saturday morning or whenever they had a game for about 5-6 years.
Wow.
So I became somewhat of an expert on directing traffic. And the first thing you got to understand is people can't hear you. And so it'd be in the middle of the day, bright sunny day, right out in the middle of the open, and people wouldn't listen to you. And you have to understand that or you're going to get hit. Well, this is early in the morning. You can see how much light there is. It's raining. And he had his window up, I'm sure, and he didn't, you know, one guy's saying go, and I was telling Julia this as well, that the first rule on directing traffic is only one person talks. Only one person directs traffic. All the other cops just, you know, stay out of the way and you know, don't, for God's sakes, don't wave at people. You got one person saying stop and another one waving them through. That just makes for entertainment. But also, why is the detective directing traffic?
Well, he wasn't supposed to be. He's not. He wasn't part of the traffic one, but I guess they brought him in because he was
extra duty.
Extra duty.
He was making overtime.
Yeah.
And I always say stick to your expertise. When I was a detective, I never worked extra duty because my view was, one, I didn't need the money. But the most important thing is, if you screw up on extra duty, this guy's not doing his normal routine as a detective, and he's going to get in all kinds of trouble. It's going to be hilarious. Because when he goes back to his desk, the next time he goes back to work, there's probably going to be a million golf balls on his desk. And they're all going to give him crap from beginning to end over what he did. He single-handedly made Louisville PD look like a complete, you know, comedy central. And they're all going to give him crap. You know, one of the things that I did is this other detective asked me, hey, can you go out and help me arrest this guy? And I said, sure, let's go arrest him. So we went to a restaurant. It was a fast food, like Wingstop or something. And it was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon when they're not doing any business. I go in there, he's behind the counter, and I thought the other detective gave me the signal to go arrest him. So I jumped the counter and like dropped this guy and arrested him. And he's like, well, I really didn't want you to do that yet. But we realized he was the only employee there and he was making food for customers. So then a customer walked over and says, hey, how am I going to get my food? And so I ended up cooking the food for him so he could get his food. And everybody gave me a hard time. I had like Wingstops on my desk for the next month, you know. So this guy's going to take a whole bunch of abuse. But did you guys see the initial, you can't see this, the initial press release this morning from Louisville Police? Now they took it down real quick. Don't want people to see it, but I got a copy. But are you interested in what they said?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Early Friday morning, Louisville police detectives received a tip concerning multiple individuals committing assault at the Valhalla Country Club. Detectives were working undercover at the entrance, attempting to identify those individuals involved. One suspect was arrested on scene after attempting to run down multiple officers and dragging one detective over 10,000 millimeters.
10,000 millimeters?
Millimeters. The suspect was identified as Scotty the Slasher Scheffler. According to witnesses, Scheffler and others were continually hitting their victims until they ultimately ended up laying in a small hole. The victims would be dragged out of those holes and the cycle of violence would continue. If the victim happened to escape, the suspect would produce a new victim from a bag and continue the violence. It was determined there was numerous victims. Three were identified as Wilson, Titleist, and Callaway. So they were trying to stop this.
I'm shocked they took a damn.
So they drove. Well, you know, that's good news because it's important to people, because I want you to explain what you think is going to happen and all the things this cop did wrong. So there was, and this is sad, a fatal traffic accident. Scotty Scheffler doesn't know this. He is in a PGA marked courtesy car. So it says PGA. This is the entrance that he has been instructed to go into, that he's been going into all week, right? So there's a barricade there. He has explained, he assumed that it was just the security barricade that's been there. Other golfers were doing the exact same thing he did. He was just going around it and turning into the golf course driveway. And so I'm sure he had no idea the cops doing things. And I'm sure he thought, okay, the cops waving me in. And so the cop then, so, I mean, I'm assuming he must've grabbed the door handle. And I mean, I was a police reporter. I'm pretty sure they don't tell you what's he's like Superman. He's going to plant his feet and
stop.
Tell
him, get out of the car. You don't open the door yourself so they can reach for a gun. Oh, bam. I mean.
So first, yeah, two things that struck me. It's like, one, I'm pretty sure you're not trained to try to hold on to the door handle.
Especially if he drives away. Just hang on.
And then he rolls down the window to reach in and grab him like he could just not just roll the window back up and trap you.
Well,
right?
How do you drag him out of the car through the window? I mean,
oh,
this
no,
guy must be good.
I got news for you. That's actually a lot of fun. But
okay.
So I mean, Scotty's pulling up to this. There's probably multiple people that are all kind of giving signals. This one detective, whether he's working extra duty or he's there because of the homicide or the death that's being investigated, whatever, he thinks that Scotty's, you know, they had to have a meeting of the mind. And whenever I'm directing traffic, I look at their eyes. Right inside the car at their eyes, and I'm like, do they see me? Well, it's raining, you know, so you can't make eye contact with the driver. They said that he had his credentials, and he was showing his credentials. Others were getting waved by. So somehow this detective didn't get the memo, you know, that this is how this was playing out. So he makes a bad decision. He screws up. The cop screws up. And he should have just let the vehicle go. I mean, no big deal. But he grabs the vehicle, gets knocked over. I'm not even sure the word dragged is an appropriate
word.
Well,
it only went 10 yards. I mean, that's about the time that Scotty Scheffler could take to be, wait, what's going on, right? I mean, that's nothing in a moving
vehicle.
Well,
he'd be glad to know. Right, unlike what you said earlier, that this guy's name was McElroy.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a joke on Twitter.
That's a joke on Twitter that Julie fell for.
I did.
And his name is Brian Gillis. And he joined the Louisville Police Force after being down in New Orleans and their police force.
Maybe that's where he got his training.
And he wanted to come up to Louisville so he could be safe. And he has twins. He's got a couple twins. So
there we go.
Not guilty. Not guilty. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not going to happen from the standpoint of, the reason they haven't already dropped the charges is they got to talk to their lawyers and say, what's our exposure here for a lawsuit? If we drop the charges right away, is that going to make us more exposed or less exposed? Obviously, the lawyers told them more exposed. So they're going to wait. They're going to probably say something like, we're going to do a full investigation, and then they're going to drop the charges. Because here's the bottom line. All of those things, like second degree assault on a peace officer, there's going to be the word intentional or knowing in that statute. One of those two words is going to be in there. How are you going to prove either one of those when he goes 10 yards, he stops on his own thing, you know, rolls his window down like, you know, dude, what the hell are you doing grabbing my car? And then he starts to yank him out through the window. I mean, it's just not going to go well.
Right.
No, they've got a solution to that. The DA said that they're going to bring in 12 jurors from New York City to try, and therefore, no problem.
You were telling me on the phone that you can't create your own jeopardy, right? So
correct. You know, this cop, by attaching himself to the car, he caused it. It's like when a car is going past you, and then the cop jumps onto the hood of the car. And it says, oh, look, you know, you killed me or what, you know, hurt me badly. It's like, dude, you jumped on the hood of the car, dumbass. You know, don't do that. You know, so they specifically teach you, do not stand in front of moving vehicles. Don't grab them. I mean, common sense would tell you.
You'd think you wouldn't have to have instructions on that.
Well, it's just like
what one would think, self-preservation should rule. But, you know, when he got to the hospital, you know, it's my understanding that
his pants, $80 uniform, were totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. The report says they were totally destroyed.
He did when he went to the hospital. This is true. They're going to have to put this in this situation. He did receive a cootie shot and he got a kiss on his boo-boo. So they're going to have to resolve that. And he got a participation trophy.
Right. Well, then it gets even worse because the ESPN reporter standing there and one of the cops, you know, they yell at him to back up, goes, he's going to jail and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
nothing you can do about it, buddy.
And you know, that's funny because I hear rumors that the PGA, did you notice when Scotty showed up, it was in a caravan. It was not one vehicle. It was multiple Range Rovers that pulled up, and he was in the lead car, and there was other PGA executives who got out of the car. So when they heard what had happened, they got in three or four Range Rovers, drove to the jail, and said, "Oh, hell no." And they cut him loose. Since when can you assault a peace officer other than in New York City? And you're out in an hour and 10 minutes, and you make your tea time. I would love to say that sometimes. You can't arrest me. I have a tea time. But he made it.
You're
So
right. I mean, that to me said, I mean, it takes forever, right? And
you don't get booked that quick.
no, and then you don't get, and then so somebody came in and said, okay, we're going to have to sort this
A
out.
lieutenant came in and said, "What are we doing again?"
Right. Well,
Yeah,
because,
he said WTF,
right.
and he solved the problem. And
Well,
it may get solved later tonight, or a judge
right.
has to read that the affidavit. I would just love this because you write this little thing to book them in, and then later on they have to do this affidavit. He's probably already teeing off, and they're still writing the paperwork, and a judge has to read it and sign up, buy off on it. This judge may say, "Do you guys really want me to sign this, or would you rather I just say there's no probable cause and it
Yeah.
goes away?" And then you can
Well,
blame the judge.
right. Well, and I think in the PGA is in trouble. And I think in your, so they, and explain this because on the internet, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about Scotty being put in a jumpsuit. But you said, what, some jails, that's just standard procedure, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, at El Paso County, if we knew you were going to punch right out, why put you in a jumpsuit? But this is the part that I think is hilarious. Well, not for Scotty. At El Paso County, if you go in a jumpsuit, they have to check to make sure that you're not keystring anything. So I'm not sure
They don't
that.
probe
Oh,
for that.
well, no, they have you bend over and pull your cheeks apart.
There you go.
And well, if Scotty went through that, how degrading
Right.
is that? And that's just going to cost them more money. I mean,
Well, one of the guys asked him, "Do you want to go through the full experience?"
but then they can't. I think, hey, but listen, Mark, I don't know if you knew this because it's 47. So for some reason, and we forget why, we decided today was not just Party Friday, it was Fireball Friday.
It's a foursome. It's a
Oh,
foursome. You saw at
there we
all right, let's see you chug that baby.
Well, wait a
Let's
minute,
see
but
this.
it's, you got to understand that the tournament, Scotty, our buddy, is in Louisville, Kentucky, and Maker's Mark is just south on the interstate from Louisville. He could be down there in about an hour and a half and drinking the best bourbon in the US of A, Maker's 46. Could be the better Maker's
Everybody
Mark.
chug whatever bottle they have in their hand.
Mark, as we do this.
Everybody out there, you can any kind of liquor you got there. If you get if you have a
Smoke
if you
them,
have a
got them.
fireball, you get bonuses.
Well, say thank you to you as we're going to chug our way out of the Party Friday show, all right? Three, I don't know if I can
Free
chug.
Scotty.
Oh, and I think I can chug all this. Oh,
How can you drink fireballs? Man, what is wrong with you people?
I can't drink
Good.
Fireball.
I'd rather
It tastes
go sip on
like
some
medicine.
bourbon.
It tastes like medicine.
Mark, we're going to let you pick the shots
This
from now on.
tastes literally like, I forget what medicine it is, but
Oh my gosh. All right. Hey, happy Party Friday to
hey,
everyone.
Julie, no cheating. You
Yeah,
gotta take
you
a little
cheated
more
big
of that.
time.
Come on, Julie.
That'll kill me. It'll kill me and
That's
make
kind of like the girls I dated in college. Are you kidding
my.
Oh, seriously. All
You
right. Bye, everybody. We'll see you later. Mark, thank you. Thank you to Deb for filling
bet.
in. Bye, everybody on Zoom. Happy Party Friday.